and welcome everyone to Aventry's video podcast series. We're focusing once again on COVID-19 and the impact that that's having on go-to-market strategies, marketing departments, events teams, the impact and what you can be doing about that in order to continue to hit your goals and to rethink the future in light of the craziness that's going on around us. So I'm very excited to have a guest with me today, Dan Bernoski, who is the founder and managing partner of the Cortado Group that is focused on revenue growth and helping some of the world's private equity firms, you know, think through the go-to-market strategy, especially in light of COVID-19. Dan, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And the reason that I asked Dan to join is because I've been having a couple conversations with Dan lately. He's been out in the market listening to VPs of sales and marketing, talking about the impact of COVID-19, all the plans that they, you know, belabored over through Q4. For now, out the window. And so it takes a new approach. And so Dan's come up with a framework based on those conversations that I think are really going to help you as marketing and sales leaders really reimagine and replan your year based on these circumstances. So I guess I'll start with an opening question, which is, you know, we know that things are not in a good position. We know that there's problems and challenges. So in your conversations with VPs of sales and marketing, how would you kind of illustrate that challenge, problem, the way that you see it?
Yeah, well, first of all, I can't take all credit on the framework. I've got a very talented team behind me that has also done a good bit of the research with me. So really a team effort. And what we've all heard is, I think it's, you know, everyone knows this at this point, but the way the buyer is buying has obviously changed. That's one massive change, really shifting because of isolation. You can't go out, feet on the street anymore. So you're buying much more virtually. And the second area is that your team, your go-to-market team obviously is working much differently, back to being virtualized. So those are the two biggest changes that are impacting marketing and sales.
Yeah, definitely. And so we're seeing that here, as I'm sure most VPs of marketing sales around the world are experiencing as well. The buyer is changing. You know, if you've been online lately, you see there's a lot of online engagement. Part of the reason we're having this this conversation today is because people are craving interaction, virtual engagement. So the buyers definitely are changing. Their habits are changing. And so that leads me into kind of a complicated question, which is, as buyers are changing and a good go-to-market strategy aligns, you know, your resources to that buying journey. So as you think about your plan as a marketing or sales leader, you think about the impact of to revenue, you know, how do you think about, you know, beginning to consider how to shift a strategy based on that that new buyer's journey?
You know, The first reality is that the forecast is going to shift. I mean, the original, I think we've all experienced a pretty solid Q1 this year. And so now all of a sudden it's this massive trough of revenue. So I think first and foremost, what you have to do is just reforecast your revenue, which would give you a reforecasted revenue plan in general. So however you remodel your revenue. So where is that revenue going to come from? What are the watering holes that your buyers are going to tap into? Really getting in touch with both of those things is step number one. That will set up really how you allocate your funds going forward. But that's the first step that I would take.
Okay. Makes sense. And so revenue plans are going to shift, and the opportunistic leaders out there are thinking about new markets that they can get into and new ways to imagine their product and their go-to-market strategy based on that. So You were going to go to budget next, and that is something that is near and dear to sales and marketing leaders right now, which is, what do I do with my budget, and how do I allocate my people, time, and money effectively given these shifts, especially for our audience around marketing budgets and event budgets. But first, we have to kind of consider the overarching go-to-market budget. So where do we begin to think about shifts in budget around sales and marketing?
Well, first of all, back to the buyer behavior change. What are their new watering holes? So where many of your buyers may have been attending face-to-face meetings or events, now they're basically forced to work online and go through online resources. So the first step is, I would look at the new forecast and go bottoms up. I would look at, what is your revenue target? And you would know your average sales price. You would know your sales cycle length typically. So that gives you a number of new client acquisitions that you need to hit. So knowing your conversion rates, your win rates would be the next step. So once you have that information, then you can build up into your new marketing budget. And what we're obviously seeing is that a lot of shift from the shift toward the online and the virtual marketing. So looking at traditional conversion rates all the way through the funnel, that's how you start to build your spend path. But that's essentially what I would do. I would start there, bottoms up.
Makes sense. And so as we're thinking about that, and you mentioned, obviously, we gotta hit those revenue targets, and there's pipeline required in order to do so. One of the balances with any marketing budget is always, we gotta generate pipeline for today, but we also need to drive awareness in the long term. And before we hit record here, we were talking about what you termed the economic echo. So could you just talk through what that means and the implications, to budgets based on, it's not just about COVID-19, but it's what comes after?
Well, the average sales cycle length, especially in B2B, is anywhere from 4 to 6 months. So thinking about today, your sales reps, a tremendous amount of disruption to the sales force, unfortunate rifts, just absolute disruption of budgets, et cetera. It is safe to say that your pipeline building activities today have dried up a little bit. And so if you play it forward, what we'll look at is Q3, Q4, probably late Q3, that pipeline that you were building toward late stage deals isn't going to be there. And that's what I would call the economic echo, that now you don't have that late stage pipeline ready to close in Q4, late Q3, that's going to have another effect. So when I'm looking at the budget, I'm thinking about not only today, how do I stop the bleeding now, but how do I plan for that echo down the road?
Makes sense. Okay, makes sense. And every organization is going to be different, and their strategy, and to your point, their revenue plan and their buyers are all going to be different. So maybe you could just provide some guidance as VPs of sales and marketing are thinking about, their events budget. How should they even begin to be thinking about that in terms of what to do with that budget? Should you be putting that money aside for future endeavors? Should you be moving that money quickly into virtual events? Should you be moving that money quickly into some other digital channels? How should a company even begin to think about, what to do with that event budget?
Yeah, obviously, it's going to be very dependent upon the industry. Some industries are hit so hard, you'd probably be better to just leave that cash on the sideline, unfortunately. But when I look at events, I look at it in two lenses, the face-to-face events. You have the exchange of ideas and the exchange of best practices by way of roundtables and presentations and seminars. So that kind of activity is that's one. And then two, the they're real face-to-face business development, brand exposure that you get from a trade room floor, from the trade show. So going booth to booth, that kind of activity. I look at those two things very separately. And so let's talk about the first one, the exchange of ideas. I actually think that that will get better because you shift that to an online space. No one has to travel now, so travel budgets go down. Your reach goes far beyond the space that you're presenting in. Now it's all virtual, it's online. Everyone now is getting patterned toward the virtual work environment. I believe that you just simply shift that budget to an online experience and make it as good as possible. And suddenly your audience, in theory, could get a lot larger. So I think there's a lot of interesting business models you can play there. And in that regard, I believe the events industry is sitting in the best possible spot to enable your clients with more events like that. The second one is the one that worries me more, and that is no longer do you have the ability to do the face-to-face brand building and business development, at least not now. So what do you do with that? That goes back to the buyer behavior discussion we talked about earlier. Where do those buyers, where do your target buyers go now? And they're spending a lot more time online. They're doing a lot of their purchase decisions and research online now, probably more than before. Then I would simply shift it to an online budget. It's not that simple. Obviously, you have to know what to buy and how much of it to buy in order to meet your funnel demands, your reforecast. But I very much look at those two things separately.
Makes sense. Okay, and I think that's an important distinction, especially when you think about educational sessions versus trade shows, and especially if you are using your events as a revenue generator to get close, to share information, to learn about your buyer's interests. The virtual platform helps and really lends itself to being able to perform well in those cases. So I think that's a major takeaway for VPs of marketing out there, especially when you're going to the CFO, going to the board, and fighting for that budget that you have. So that's a good takeaway.
Yeah, definitely. You know, actually, to that point, you know, by shifting things to online, your marketing spend, there is definitely an argument to be made that the conversion rates do tend to be higher, but more importantly, you can track ROI much easier. So for you to build as a marketer, for you to build that business case and present that to the CFO or the C-suite, it actually arguably gets better and easier for you to prove that ROI. So I look at that as some silver lining.
Okay. And that's a good point. And I'd like to just dig into that for a moment. So because I talked to a lot of VPs of marketing that when it comes to ROI and proving the value of their events to their CFO, they struggle. So just, you know, regardless of COVID-19, how should you think about, you know, an ROI discussion with your CFO? How do you prove it out? What are the key KPIs you're looking at?
Well, first of all, you first and foremost, you have to have a way to measure it. So obviously partnering with a company or having the people in-house who can actually run digital campaigns, I mean, that's number one, obviously, but also revenue attribution. So think about revenue attribution. You have to, for you to be able to track ROI, you have to be able to track, you have to have the systems in place to do it. So having something like a marketing automation tool, one would hope you as a company, you already have that something, you know, like HubSpot or Marketo, whatever your platform is. That's number one. But I would look at, your traditional conversion rates, and that's all available today. I mean, there are benchmarks everywhere that you can look for. Your social conversion rates are obviously different than your AdWords conversion rates and different than your email. So you definitely want to look at conversion rate by channel. But I would say the other big point I have is that don't get too wrapped up in what's called vanity metrics. Some vanity metrics, I'll give you a great example, is a lot of marketers that I've seen in my client base they get excited about things like email open rate or really low bounce rates on your emails, for example. That's not nearly as important as how many of those convert into qualified leads or MQLs. That is the metric that you need to really watch. And then how many of those MQLs then you, this is where the alignment with sales is super important. How many of those metrics or how many of those MQLs then convert down the road to opportunities? Those are the real ones that you want to look at. And depending upon the channel you choose, those conversion rates are very, very different. And I would recommend you to benchmark those and then go to your management with some forecasting based on those unique benchmarks.
Awesome. That makes sense. I think that's a really great description. Your point about MQLs and qualified leads that the sales team is going to want to engage with and do so effectively is that critical metric. And at Aventry, we look at that daily to see, what all of our channels are doing in terms of creating those MQLs. So,
yeah.
Okay. One last kind of major topic, and we touched on this a little bit earlier around that economic echo, but once you got that budget figured out and you start thinking about campaigns you want to run and content you want to generate, right now, and this is an ever-evolving question that VPs of marketing are asking themselves, but how should I change my messaging? And should I go all in on COVID-19 and our response to that and forego long-term strategies, which at the moment don't seem relevant? Or should we be thinking about when we come out of it and getting back to our core? How do you balance that? And how do you think about, from a VP of marketing thinking, dealing with content messaging campaigns that they should be running right now?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I wouldn't go all in on COVID. When I look at you summed it up great. You've got a near-term problem and you have the long-term problem. So how do I prepare for today and then prepare for that echo that's going to happen later on in the year? So two different strategies. And everyone's already done it at this point. They've already come out with their COVID messaging, which is fine. You kind of have to. But I wouldn't place all my bets on that, because you want I'm all about building for the future. If you write all about today's event and what the industry would call newsjacking, if I newsjacked COVID, my content is not evergreen. Next year it's going to be worthless. I built up all this equity around that search engine optimization around a COVID piece, and next year people aren't going to care about it. So I would very heavily shift over to building content that's going to be evergreen as much as you can, go business as usual, because what I would be doing as a leader, I'd be building toward that Q3, Q4 build, knowing that my bottom of the funnel pipeline is going to be weak. I've got to strengthen my position as much as possible. So I would be writing content that's going to make an impact for my latter part of the year. That's my recommendation.
Makes sense. And that's, I think, great advice for our VPs of marketing, especially out there, but even on the sales side, as you think about generating your own pipeline, doing your prospecting, this is the time to be building that pipeline and be thinking 6 months ahead, which sometimes is a little tricky for a salesperson who wants to hit their number this month, this week. But thinking, how are we going to make sure that we're building pipelines so when buyers are buying again, that we're ready to sell. So I think that's a great takeaway. Okay. All right. I guess in conclusion, are there any last ahas, any last best practices or major predictions about the future of the go-to-market strategy?
I think, well, first of all, the majority of companies right now are hurting with this particular crisis. It's not the first time this has happened to our economy. It certainly won't be the last. One thing I have noticed, we have clients across all different industries in that everyone is affected differently. We have healthcare clients that are obviously impacted much differently than some of our tech clients. It's just different in terms of how it affects their revenue plan. But ultimately, they're all faced with the same problem, the same exact problem. And it's that the buyer behavior has changed. And so what I would recommend highly is to collaborate with other CMOs as much as possible, regardless of industry, and learn from each other and get through it together. That's my biggest takeaway right now. We've noticed that with our clients, we connect them together to talk more, and it's becoming very, very beneficial. So that's my biggest takeaway at this point.
Yeah, makes sense. And obviously, I'm a proponent of that. This conversation is indicative of that, which is just collaboration. I think everyone is going through the same thing right now, which is, this is new to me. I was not thinking about this 2 months ago. So everyone is kind of on the same playing field and in need and really hungry, I think, for collaboration and for some of that engagement. So I will take that away myself and recommend that of any VPs out there. So
awesome.
Well, thanks, Dan, for your time today. Thanks to the Cortado Group for putting work together. Wish you the best of luck in navigating through COVID-19. Stay healthy, stay hungry, and we'll catch you next time.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Dan.